today's shiur, and we're going to begin on Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis about 7 lines into the wide lines. Amr Shimon Pazi, Amr Shimon Levi, Amr Shimon Bar Kapara. Kol Amar Demas Al Adam Kasher. Somebody sheds tears on an Adam Kasher that passes from the world. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Soifram Umanicham Beis Kenozva. Hakadosh Baruch Hu counts those tears and puts them into treasure. Shinemar, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Noidi Sofarta, you take in account all of my wanderings. Ato, Sima Demasi Benaidecha, put my tears into your flask, into your jar. Haloi B'Sifrasecha, you should count them. So Mepharshim explain like this, what is Pshat HaMoyer Demas? So they say like this, a person can't cry just from himself. To cry means that you really mean it. It comes from the depths of your heart. If somebody recognizes that what it means in Adam Kosher and what it means the passing of an Adam Kosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also takes those tears which represent that you in your heart, you're recognizing what's important, and puts it into his secret hidden places, into his treasure. Another pshat is that somebody who cries for an Adam Kosher is a siman of Yerushalayim. A Yerushalayim cries for an Adam Kosher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beis Kenozav, the only thing that Eibishter has in his treasure house is a Oitzei Sheh Yerushalayim, a treasure house of Yerushalayim. So this belongs there. But there's a nice part from the Chasam Sofer. The Gemara says, Ein HaBracha Shaira, Bracha isn't applied, El B'Dov HaSamim Min Ayin, something that is not in your head. Something that you count, there is no bracha on. That's why we try to avoid counting. So here we have the death of a person. We don't want that to multiply. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it. If he counts it, it won't multiply. Continues the Gemara. Amar B'Yudam Rav, Kolmas Atzel V'Spedah Shel Chacham, whoever is lazy in the Hesped of a Talmud Chacham, Roy L'Kavar B'Chayav, he should be buried. Shinema, the pasuk says regarding Yeshua, V'yikvroisai B'Gvul Nachlosai, he was buried at the border of his inheritance, B'Timna Sarach, that's the name of the place, Asher B'Har Ephraim, which is in the mountain of Ephraim, B'Tzfoy L'Gahar Gosh, north of Har Gosh. So like Masha explains, everybody knows where Har Ephraim is. It's many times mentioned in Nach. Har Gosh is not mentioned. So what are you using Har Gosh as a marker? We don't know where Har Gosh is. So must be the Har Gosh has a different point here. What's the point? The mountain wanted a tremble to come to kill them. Why? Because they did not properly eulogize Yeshua. Says the Gemara. Amar Chibar Abba. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, call him Atzel Spedah Shel Chacham, whoever is lazy in the Spedah Shel Chacham, ein Merach Yomim. He won't have Arichas Yomim. Mida Kenegem Mida. Because if you don't respect the Talmud Chacham, then you will not have Arichas Yomim. Shnema, B'sasot B'shalcha Tiriveno. B'sas means measure for measure. Ask the Gemara, Eifer Chibar Abel Rabbi Yochanan, it says in the Pasuk regarding of Yeshua, V'yavdus Em Kol Yimei Yeshua, the people served Hashem all the days of Yeshua, V'kol Yimei Zekenim, all the days of the Zekenim, Ashurichu Yom Achu Yeshua. So here we see that they had a Arichas Yomim. I would just said that if somebody isn't Masped Talmud Chacham properly, he doesn't have a Arichas Yomim. Amlei Bavloi, you Bavel person, Yom Harichu, they had long days. The days that they lived were good days. Abshonim Lo Harichu, they didn't live long years. The days that they lived were good, but they didn't have a long life. Ask the Gemara if that's what it means. Alamata, when it says we say in Krishma, we say at the end of the second parasha, if we do what's right, we and our children will have a Arichas Yomim. But according to this, it's not a bracha because it only means we'll have good days. But it doesn't mean long life. Yomim, only good days, Loishanim, not a long life. And says the Gemara, bracha shani. Since there it's in the context of a bracha, so it means a full bracha. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha, he gives it with a whole hand. That means good days and long days. So, a few points. Rashi says, "Shiraga shalem har lahagun shloi speed kroy." They set a hesped for Yeshua, but it wasn't the right hesped. What is the definition of a right hesped and a wrong hesped? So I saw from the Mefarshim, the point of a good hesped is to learn from the life of a tzaddik. Just to say a speech, but not to learn from the life of that tzaddik, is not a proper hesped. You're supposed to, the people are supposed to walk away from a hesped with taking something away, a lesson and a message, how they should change their lives based on the life of the tzaddik that was nifter. The Mefarshim explain, why is there such a problem with not, that somebody who doesn't say a hesped proper for Talmud Chacham, a mountain should fall on him? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that why is the tzaddik nifter? Why does the tzaddik pass from the world? Because of our avarus, a kapara for our avarus. But if we don't recognize why the tzaddik was nifter, then it's like, then we deserve to die if we didn't take the lesson. The Chassam Sofer says another pshat based on the Gemara that we learned earlier. The Gemara said that kofalem hakigigas, when Klal Yisrael was standing by Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced them to mekabel Torah. So Tosfos asked, what do we have to have that they should be forced? We said Nasa v'nishma. So one of the tirutzim we said was that they said Nasa v'nishma on Torah Shebiksav, not on Torah Shebapeh. A Talmud Chacham represents Torah Shebapeh. He teaches us the Torah Shebapeh. If somebody doesn't recognize when a Talmud Chacham dies what happened, that means he doesn't recognize what Torah Shebapeh is. So the har, a mountain should fall on him, because that mountain from Har Sinai. But I want to just end this piece of Gemara with a story about the Sfasemis. We mentioned the Sfasemis so many times in this Masechta. The Sfasemis was nifter in his 50s. When they came home from the Levaya, his son was the Imri Emes, told his brothers, "No, at least our father was Maruch Yom." So the brothers looked at him, "Our father was Maruch Yomim. He died, he was in the 50s. So they said, "This Gemara, I didn't say he was Maruch Shonim. I said he was Maruch Yomim. Every day that he lived a full life." And it's a very interesting phenomenon. It says in Shulchan Aruch, everybody knows this story, but I'm going to add one knetch that not everybody knows. It says in Shulchan Aruch that Hei Shvat is a Tanis. Hei Shvat is a Tanis. And nobody knows what's the Tanis of Hei Shvat. So the Mefarshim say on the Shulchan Aruch that Hei Shvat is a Tanis because it's the day that the Zakenim from Yeshua's time died. Hei Shvat is also the Yartzeit. They were Maruch Yom. Hei Shvat is the Yartzeit of Sfasemis. And that's why we say by Yibush Chodesh, we say Chaim Aruchim. So Mefarshim say, we're only stabbing for a month. What are we saying Chaim Aruchim? We're saying Chaim Aruchim, that every day of the month we should use out a full day. Continues the Gemara. Bar Rav Chibar Abba, Amar Rav Yoichan. Echem and Achem Shemes, if one of a group of brothers die, Yida Gu Kol Achem Kulam. The rest of the brothers should be concerned. Echem Nechabura Shemes, if somebody from a group dies, Tida Kol Chabura Kula, the entire group should be worried. Amulei, some say the Mes Gadol, that's talking that the oldest in the group died, since if and our oldest and the most chashiva there was a midas adin, we have to be worried about the rest. Vikadamri, the meskatan, the youngest one died, and that Rashi explains that in bad things they start from the bottom and they work their way up. So we learned in the Mishnah, the kol makalkon peturim, that in Shabbos any destructive act is potur. Tana Rav Ruh kamed Rav Yochanan. So Rav Ruh said to Rav Yochanan, true, kol makalkon peturim, when a destructive act is done in Shabbos yipater, chutz michoy v'lamavir. There are two exceptions. Choy v'lamavir. Choy means to make a wound, and mavir means to make a fire. What's Rav Ruh's proof? So Rashi quotes a Mishnah Masechta Baba Kamma. The Mishnah Baba Kamma says that if somebody on Shabbos lights a fire and it does damage, so he's chayiv two onshim, two punishments. One is for Chilul Shabbos, lighting a fire, and one is for damage. So we say, come lay with Rabbanei. Whenever there's two punishments, we give the more serious punishment, and he gets Misa. Now, if Mavir If fire, which is destructive, you're not chayiv, so why are you chayiv misa? Must be that even though normally on Shabbos a destructive act you're not chayiv for this one you're chayiv. Schayiv lamav are exceptions. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan tells Rabbi Avuah, puk tani levra, go out.
That's and, a proof from Avir, not for Chodesh.
It's the same concept. Because it's, we'll see, it's the same concept. Amalei, puk tani levra, go and teach your Mishnah outside. Chayiv lamav ain't a Mishnah. That Mishnah is incorrect. Vim tim tzlo Mishnah. And even if you'll tell me that the Mishnah is correct, not every situation of chayiv where you wound somebody will be chayiv. Only be chayiv with tzarchel kabel. When you wound somebody and you need that blood to serve to your dog. Mavir, or when you light a fire with tzarchel afroy and you need the ashes. But usually, you're not chayiv for chayiv la mavir if it's purely destructive. Ask the Gemara on Rabbi Avuah. Rabbi Avuah started this piece of Gemara with a statement that even though normally a destructive act you potter, chayiv la mavir are exceptions. Ask the Gemara v'anant nan. Let's learn our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says kol makalkel paturim, a blanket statement. Always. So what's Rabbi Avuah going to do with that explicit statement in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. Masnisin Rabbi Yehuda, Bryce Rav Shimon. Our Mishnah that says Kol Makalkel Paturim is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Bryce is going according to Rav Shimon. So this is the Tosfos explains. Tosfos has a very simple explanation. They knew there was a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon. The Rav Shimon held that even though Mekalkalin is potter, Chayv L'Mavr are exception. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with that exception. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chayv L'Mavr also have to have some sort of a purpose. If it's just destructive, you'll be potter. That's how Tosfos learns. Rashi learns a very interesting pshat. We've learned many times in this Masechet already a machlokes of Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda holds a Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayv. Rav Shimon holds Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa is Potter. So essentially, what are we saying? Rav Shimon is a Mekel, Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa is Potter. Rav Yehuda is a Machmer, Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa Chayiv. Says Rashi over here, their positions end them up with Rav Shimon being a Machmer and Rav Yehuda being a Mekel. Why? Rav Shimon holds Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa is Potter. But now we have a problem. Every case of Chayvel is a Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa. If I'm wounding you, so I'm not doing it for constructive purpose, I'm doing it in reaction to something. Even if I need the blood, it's not that I'm doing it for constructive. How do we always explain Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa? I would have rather not had to do it. I'm only doing a reaction. So according to Rav Shimon, we have two Abbas Molochas. One is called Chayvel or Shaychit. One is called Mavir. And if you hold Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa as Potter, how is it ever possible to have that Molocha? It must be that Rav Shimon says that Chayiv L'Mavir are exceptions. That even though in all Molochas they have to be a Molocha Tzrich L'Gufa, Chayiv L'Mavir are exceptions, even if they're destructive. No creative purpose, they're a Molocha. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have to say it. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayiv. What does that mean? As long as there's a purpose, even though it doesn't have a purpose in the thing I'm doing, but there's some sort of constructive purpose, it's already considered malacha. So if I'm chayvel because I need the blood, if I burn something because I need the ashes, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a malacha. So I don't have to turn chayvel and mavir into exceptions. So the fact that Yehuda holds malacha and tzrich l'gufa is always chayiv, ends up with a cooler here that by chayvel and mavir has to be with a purpose. Rav Shimon, who holds Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa is always Potter, is going to say, so how do you have Chayiv L'Mavir? It must be that Chayiv L'Mavir are exceptions, and even without a purpose, they're even when it's purely destructive, Yechayiv. Says the Ma'amaitam Rav Shimon. But where does Rav Shimon take this from? He can't just make this up, that something which is purely destructive should still be a Malacha. Says the Gemara, Mid Isrekro L'Mishra Milo. The Pasuk says that a Mila, we have a drasha, we'll talk about it a lot later in the Masechta, that a Mila that the eighth day comes out in Shabbos, you let him do Shabbos. But Mila is a Chayvel. So why is the mutter? So what's the pasuk teaching us? That even though normally chayvel is asur, this chayvel is mutter. Ha chayvel ba'alma chayv, and the same thing by maver. The halach is if a daughter of a kohen does adultery, she has a special type of misa sreifa. She's burnt. How did they do sreifa? They melted lead. They cooked up lead and they put it down the person's mouth. What's the point when the Torah, there's a pasuk that teaches us that even though you're supposed to burn a bas koyin, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos? What's the Torah telling us? Shema mina. What the pasuk is teaching us is the mavir ba'al mechayiv. The mavir is usually yes the malacha, and that's why don't do it on Shabbos to a bas koyin, even though these are destructive. You see that we needed a pasuk to say that they're malachas, even though they're destructive. So now that Shimon has a proof that these malachas, although they're destructive, yechayiv, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to say? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, even in these malachas, you're only chayiv if you did it with some sort of a benefit. Rabbi Yehuda has masakenhu. By Mila, you're not doing it purely destructive. There's a fix. Rav Ashi, Don Rav Ashi, Mali takim Mila, Mali takim Keli. It's no difference if I fix a utensil or fix a person. I make the person into a person that has a mila. He's a Jew. And the same thing by the lead. Mali vashel psila, mali vashel simonim. What's the difference if I cook the dye or I cook the lead? So it's not because of mavir, it's because of cooking. And this cooking, that's why it's chayv. There's a few shailas. One shaila is, what we're saying here a mila, what is the malacha mila? Chavola. Why isn't there a melacha, asked the Minchas Chinuch, a mila, a mak b'patish? We're making the person into a gemalata. Before he was an oral, now he's gemalat. So the Minchas Chinuch says, interesting teretz, he says that mak b'patish is only when I correct something, I improve it physically. Here, a person that has a mila is only improved on a religious basis, not on a physical basis. That's not called makbe patish. The interesting shaila will be, according to Minchas Chinuch, if doctors will say that a circumcised person is healthier or better than a non-circumcised person, then it may be a makbe patish. Then another shaila the Paiskim ask, why isn't it called geizus? Shearing. We're shearing off the arla. So the Paiskim say, the most Paiskim give is, that where do we learn the malacha geizus from? That they cut the wool off the sheep. Wool is something that after you cut it off, it grows back. The mila is not something that will grow back. So there's no geizus on something that will not regrow. Asks the Chassam Sofer, we're saying, what's Rav Shimon's raya? A little current events. What's Rav Shimon's raya? Rav Shimon's raya is because the pasuk, we have a pasuk that says mila is mutter and Shabbos, even though mila is chavol. Ask the Chassam Sofer, who says the pasuk tells us the mila is mutter? Maybe the pasuk is telling us the mitzitz is mutter. The mila is tak, I wouldn't need a pasuk. You know why? Because mila is mutter because it's chavola, and chavola is mutter. Yes, it is. It's mefarik. The mitzitz is a deraisa. It's mefarik. It's like nursing.
No, but the need to do mitzitz on a bris mila is not.
Yes, some say it is deraisa. I'll say it is the raisa. So the need, and the Torah is telling us you're allowed to do the mitzitza, but for mila I don't need a pasuk. So Chassam Sofer has an interesting teretz. He says if the only thing I needed a pasuk for was mitzitza, I would do like this. I would do the mila the last minute of Shabbos and do the mitzitza already on Matzoi Shabbos. If mila doesn't need a heter, because mila is mutter anyway, because it's chavola, the only thing I need a heter is for mitzitza, then I wouldn't be allowed to do it. Do the mila the last minute of Shabbos and do mitzitza already matzoi Shabbos. It must be that the pasuk is telling us a heter for mila. That's one teretz. Another teretz that they give is like this: why is mitzitza done? Because the Gemara says the mitzitza is a refuah. So the way it works is like this: the Torah gives you a heter on mila. Once the child has a mila and it's in a sakana, you're allowed to do mitzitza. But it's not that mitzitza has its own heter. Mitzitza is only a situation that I have where we have a child in a sakana. Now I can do mitzitza. So I don't need a pasuk for that. It's only in reaction for the child in a sakana. Shir hamalabin. We learned in the Mishnah the water of the shir for whitening. Kamale sit kofel. Double the size of the area between the index finger and the middle finger. Rabbi Yosi macha kafel. So Rabbi Yosi took that distance and he doubled it. Chibar ami machi pashit. So the way most Rishonim learned the Gemara is like this: he took the area between the thumb and the index finger, didn't double it, but he said that the area between the thumb and the index finger equal double the area between the index finger and the middle finger.
What do you mean?
So he just showed you that you don't have to do any math. Just take that. Rav Yehuda Aimer Hatzad Tzipa L'Migdal. If somebody, now we go into the Malacha of Tzeda, and like the Tosfos Yontif explains, really we should have talked about Tzeda before, because we spoke about Kaisiv, which is writing, and you have to write on something, so you have to catch the animal to make parchment. But like we explained, we brought in Ha'irig because Ha'irig is two stitches, which is the same shear of a Kaiser, which is two letters. Now we go back to writing. So Atzotzi, if you don't know Atzotzi, but somebody captures a bird, L'migdol, he has to take it into a closet. That's the only way it's considered caught. If you just took it into the house, it's not caught, because Rashi says it could fly out the window.
But the windows are closed.
Oh, so the Bach asks him, what if the windows are closed? So some say it has nothing to do with windows open and closed. Others say the pshat is that a house, that it's too wide of an area, even if you have a bird in the house, doesn't mean you got it under your control. But svil abayis, but if you catch a deer into the house, chayif. The chum harm like this. Tzipra l'migdol. A bird is only considered caught when you got into a closet. The tzvi, but a deer does not have to be brought into the house. Lagina l'chutz l'bibrim, if you took it into a garden, or bibrim is like some sort of a yard, that's also considered catching.
But there's a fence now?
Rav Shim Gamalei Oimra, loy kol ha-bibrim shoven. Obviously it has a fence. Not all yards are the same. Zeh klal. Mechuset say though, if it's hard to catch it, then it's potter, because it doesn't mean it was caught. Eim chuset say though, but if it's not hard to catch, chayif. Tanan hosam. So we learned in a Mishnah. The Mishnah is Masech Tabeya. Ain't sudden dogma in a bigger Vyantif. You're now allowed to catch fish from a pond on Yontif. So Rashi explains, because even though on Yontif, Melachas Eichel Nefesh, something that you need to do for preparing a meal is mutter, the only things that are mutter is something that you couldn't have done before Yontif. But this fish, you could have caught before Yontif and just put it into a pail with water. Why did you save it for Yontif? So there's no heter of Eichel Nefesh. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim learn that certain malachas are mutter for Eichel Nefesh, certain malachas are not mutter for Eichel Nefesh. Only from the malachas of Lisha and On are mutter for Eichel Nefesh. Seder is never mutter. It's not one of the malachas that are mutter for Eichel Nefesh. So fish in a pond are not considered caught, and therefore you may not catch them on Yontif. Furthermore, they know someone's name is Zoinus. You're not allowed to give them food. So Rashi explains, since you're not allowed to catch them, they become muksa. And you're not allowed to give anything, a muksa item, any food. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos and the Rizba learn that you know why you're not allowed to give them food? We're afraid that if you're going to give them food, you may come to catch them. So that's why anything that's not caught, you're not allowed to feed. But something that's mukso, according to Tosfos, you are allowed to feed.
So Shabbos Shira, they shouldn't hand out the
Avot Sodden Chai V'Oif, but you're not. They don't put it in front of the birds. You just put it out, not in front of the birds. Avot Sodden Chai V'Oif, you're allowed to catch animals and birds. The nice enough name is Zionist, and therefore you could give them food. V'Rimunu asked the Gemara Kash. It says in a Braisa, Bibrim, these areas of Chayas, Oifis, and Dogim, ain't Sodmehem, be Yontif, you're not allowed to capture them in Yontif, they know some of name is Zoinus, and you're not allowed to give them food. So Kasha Chaya Chaya. In the Mishnah it says that you are allowed to catch an animal. In the Brice it says you're not allowed to. Kasha, Oifis, Oifis. In the Mishnah it says you're allowed to catch a bird. In the Brice it says you're not allowed to. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Chaya Chaya Loi Kasha. The stira, the contradiction about Chaya is not a difficult. This is the way I'll answer it. Harab Yehuda, Harabana. The mandamer that says that you're not allowed to capture animals, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, An animal is not caught, a deer is not caught, until it's in the house. So if the animal is in the yard, it's not caught, and therefore you're not allowed to take it on Yontif. The Mishnah that says you are allowed to, it's like on an our Mishnah, that says as when the animal is already in the yard, it's considered caught. So Chaya Chay is not a kasha. Ela Oifis are Oifis. The Yehuda and Rabbanan agreed by Oifis. Kasha, how we reconcile this, the machloikas between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Chitaymo, Oifis are Oifis, Namila Kasha. I say that there's no question by Oifis. Why? Because I say, Hava Biba Makura, Hava Biba Shein Makura. One is talking about a yard that has a roof on it. There I'll say it's considered court. But in a place without a roof, it's not considered court. Ask the Gemara, you can't say that. Vabais, a house. A house, by definition, Makura, has a roof. And what it say in our Mishnah? That catching a bird into the house is not Seder. So you see that the fact that it has a roof is irrelevant. Obeying the Yehuda, obeying Rabbanan, Tzipor is only considered Lamigdolin. Only when you take it into a closet is it considered court. Labayis, even though it has a roof, Loi, it's not considered court. So back to where I started. How do I reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? Am Rabbi Rafuna, Hochbet Tzipor, Drarskin. Our Mishnah it says that a bird is not considered court is talking about a wild bird. A wild bird, Lefish Enema Kabbalah Morris. It doesn't take ownership, it doesn't take control well. So that is only considered caught when it's in a closet. Other birds, which are not so wild, as soon as they're in a bieber, they're considered caught. The Taner Beir Shmuel, Loma Nikra Shmuel Tzipa Dror, where does this name Tzipa Dror come? Neshador Bebais Kibasada. To where a house in the field is the same. You can't, just like in the field, it's not under your control, so too in the house. Says the Gemara, Hash the Dostas Lahochi, not I'm saying such a tirade. Chaya Chaya Nami Lakasha. I could say there's no question by Chaya. Ha, Bibi Godel. The Bryce that says that you're not allowed to catch Chayas is talking in a very large yard. In a very large yard, it's not considered court, so you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. However, Bibi Cotton, in a small yard, it's considered already court, and that's why you're allowed to take it on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Dami Biba Godel, Heichi Dami Biba Cotton. How do I define a large yard? How do I define a small yard? Amar Ravashi, Kalecha Derot Besrei, wherever if you're running after the animal, Umatale Bechat Sichya, and you can catch it with one lunge, no, it's not so big, Biba Cotton, that's considered Biba Cotton. Vidach, anything larger is a Biba Godel. That's one way of defining it. Inami, another way, that the place is so small that the shadow of one wall hits the other wall, that's considered Biba Kodin. Vidach, anything else is a Biba Godel. As Tosfos, the shadow hitting the other wall is a function on the height of the wall. The taller the wall, the longer the shade. So Tosfos says all their walls had a standard size. And Ritva says, and we're also measuring it all at the same time of the day. The different times of the day is a different shade. Vinami, kolech de leka uksi, where there are no crevices where the animal could run into Biba Cotton. Vidach, where it has all sorts of crevices and cracks where it could hide, is Biba Cotton. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oymer, Rav Shimon Gamliel said in our Mishnah, a rule. If you could catch it, if it's under your control, it's considered catching on Shabbos. If it's not under control, not. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'ruah l'bishim negemuyah. That's the halacha. Amar le'abai, so Abai makes a comment. This is a comment we have all over Shas. Halacha, if we say that halacha is like a certain man d'amar, mechlal the plea, that indicates there's a machlaikis, and I'm saying, I'm passing like one man d'amar. Which is not true. Could Rabbanan don't disagree with Shimon Gamliel? They both say that a man is on the Biber. So what are we saying that halacha like Rav Shimon Gamliel? There's no machlokes. Rabbanan agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel. So ask the Rajba, you know why I'm saying halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel? Because I want to say I don't pass me like Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't differentiate between the Bibers. He says it has to be a bias. So the Rajba answers, to tell me that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda is obvious. If the Rabbanan are arguing against Rabbi Yehuda, of course we're not going to pass me like Rabbi Yehuda. So why do I say halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel? Amli may nafkul kaminos. He says, what does it bother you that I told you that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel? If you're telling me that halacha of Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanan are the same, so what does it bother you if I say halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel? That is the halacha. Amli gemara. You're learning gemara. Zemarsate, it's like a song. Every word we say in the gemara is significant. So we say that halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel has to be significant. Just to say it and saying what's the difference that I said it, that's not acceptable. Tana Rabbanan. So we learned in the Braisa. Hatzot Tzvi Suma, if somebody captures a blind deer or v'yoshin or its sleeping chayiv. B'chigur, if the deer is lame, v'zokin old, v'choylin sick, potter. Omlei Abayler of Yosef. Maishnohani. What's the difference between the first group, that if you caught them it's considered seida, and the second group, if you catch them it's not considered seida? Answers the Gemara. Hani avidil rebuya. A sleeping or a blind deer have reflexes, and if a person attempts to get close to them to catch them, they'll jump away. So if you catch it, it's considered you did seida. Hani, but the other group, the sick or the other group, lo yavidil rebuya, can't run away. So if you catch them, you're catching something which is already caught, so it's not seida. Ask the Gemara for Tana Chayiv. We learned in a Brice that if you catch a sick deer, you are chayiv. Rav Sheshet lo kasha. It makes a difference what kind of disease it has. Ha b'choy l'machas isha. So this way Rashi learns. If it's sick because it has a fever, so it's taka sick, but it's not that sick that if a person gets to it, it won't run away. So if you catch such a deer, it's considered that you did seida. Ha machmas uftsna. But when you have a deer that's tired, that deer can't move, and if you catch it, it's not considered seida because you're catching a caught thing. There's a very interesting shaila the Bir Halacha asks. He says like this: if you catch a deer that's tired, we're saying it's not considered that you did seida. What's going to be the halacha, asks the Bir Halacha, if you have a deer that's not tired, but you spent the whole day running after the deer trying to catch it, and then the deer gets tired, and then after the deer gets tired, you catch it? Is it considered seida or not? When you caught it, it was a tired deer. A tired deer does not say that. Or do we take in consideration what you did all day? Tanravanim. Hatzad chagovim. If somebody catches grasshoppers, gizim is another type of grasshoppers, which Rashi actually says is a kosher grasshopper, and is you may eat it, even though we don't eat grasshoppers. Sirin, the yatushin, different types of ants and flies. B'shabes chayiv, divrameyim. Anything that type of creature is caught, yes, for doing tzeda. The kosher, which that type of creature is not normally caught, potter does not chiv tzeda midaraisa. Tani idach, we learned another brisa. Hatzot chagovim b'shas atal. As somebody catches grasshoppers when the dew is coming down, potter. Why? Because when the dew comes down, the grasshoppers get blind; they're immobilized. So it's not considered you did seida. B'shasa sheriff, however, when it's very hot, although it slows down the grasshoppers, it doesn't completely immobilize them, and that's why if you catch it, you chayv. Now, Allah ben Ma'avoy makes a statement. Imhoyu mekalchoy sabois, if they're coming down in a large group, potter. Now the question is, what did Allah ben Ma'avoy mean with this statement? Iboy Allah ben Ma'avoy reshikoy, or seifikoy. Is he going on the resha? And he's saying that the Reisha said that when dew comes down, it's not considered seida. Says the Lord's Ben Mavoy, a chumra. It has to be that the dew comes down, and you have a whole group. You have to have two qualities. Otherwise, it will be seida. Or the Lord's Ben Mavoy saying a kula. We said that when it's hot, this still seida comes along, and the Lord's Ben Mavoy says, if it's hot, this seida. But if you have hot plus a large group, it won't be seida. So the Lord's Ben Mavoy saying a kula or a chumra. Toshma. Hatzor chagovim b'shas atal. If somebody catches chagovim when the dew comes down, potter under all circumstances. B'shas hasheref when it's hot, chayiv. Allah ben Ma'avoy oimer. I feel b'shas hasheref even if it's hot. When normally there is tzeda, however, in my mekalchus shabbos if they come in a large group, potter. So what do we see? That Allah ben Ma'avoy is saying a kula. Says the Mishnah. Tzvi shemnichnas labayis. If a deer enters the house, the noel echa b'fonof, and somebody closes the door, chayiv. That say that closing the door, noel u'shnayim, if two people close it, potter. Why is it potter? Because It's Shnaim Shasur, which we learned previously. Shnaim Shasur, if two people do a malacha together in Shabbos, you're not chayiv. However, La Yachal Echad Nilan, if it's a door that can't be closed by one person, V'Nol Shnaim, so now you need the two people. So the Tanakhama, like you said before, that says Shnaim, we each person couldn't do it alone, we needed two people to do it chayav. Rav Shimon, also we learned earlier, said that Shnaim Shasur is always potter. Shnaim Shasu is always potter, whether it's Zayoch v'Zayoch or whether it's Zayniyoch v'Zayniyoch. Ask the Sfas Emes a gewaldige kasha. He asks like this: what's this Mishnah teaching us? It's teaching us the halacha of Shnaim Shasu. But we already learned the halacha of Shnaim Shasu. We had a long sugya. We learned it well. We had a long sugya of Shnaim Shasu. Why do we have to repeat this? We're not going to say every malacha. So he says a beautiful teretz. He says like this: we're talking about such a case. If we would have caught the animal in a normal way of catching an animal, the example I gave is a cat. A cat is not a hard animal to catch. If you would catch the animal and the cat in a normal way, one person could pick up the cat. Here we chose to not catch it in a normal way. We chose to catch it by closing the door, and this is a heavy door that needs two people. So do I call it Shnaim Shas? Do I call it Zayin Yachol? Zayin Yachol? Do I not call it Zayin Yachol? Zayin Yachol? For one hand, closing the door needs two people. On the other hand, I could have caught the animal by one person if I would have caught it the regular way of catching. Tells us the Mishnah, it doesn't make a difference that this animal could have been caught by one person. We chose to catch this animal by closing this door, and closing the door is impossible unless you have two people. So it's considered Shteinu Yochel Zayinu Yochel. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yibri Ba'aba Om Shmuel, Hatzara Riba Shabbos, if somebody catches a lion in Shabbos, ain't a chayiv. You're not chayiv at Seda, until you put it into its cage. Why? Because just because you caught a lion doesn't mean anything. The lion can easily break out. Unless you put it into its cage, then and only then would it be chayiv at Seda. Ask the Sfasemus a Gevalda Gishaya La Halacha. What's going to be the halacha like this? If somebody caught the lion, but the second person put it into a cage, if you learn the Gemara simple, you'll say that the second person is chayiv. He put it into the cage. On the other hand, if not for the hard work that the first person did, that he did the hard work at catching the lion, I could have never gotten it into the cage. So will it be considered Shnaim Shasua and its potter, or we say no, the Gemara says whoever puts into the cage is chayiv, and makes no difference what happened before.